Amen. Hey, let's thank Church Notes for being with us today, leading us in some songs. Appreciate you guys just getting our hearts ready for hearing from God's Word. And forgive me for not introducing myself earlier at the Q&A if we haven't had a chance to meet yet. And there's some faces I don't recognize, but I'm Jay Lennington. I'm the children's pastor here and the middle school pastor. I've been at this church for 12 years now, and I came out early 2012, 13, and just came for seminary. I was a youth pastor in the Midwest and had been a youth pastor for not quite 2 years, and knew I needed a ton of help and some training. And so by God's providence, my senior pastor brought me here, and I heard of the seminary, and I got to just listen to some wonderful preachers who handled God's word the way that I wanted to. And so I ended up here. Did not think I would stay this long, but God has his own plan, and I'm so thankful to be here and be a part of it. I've been in middle school ministry for 10 years now, and that ministry is a real joy for me, and I've gotten to serve in a few pastoral capacities here, but middle school and children's ministry is the sweet spot for me. So I love what I do. It's a joy to evangelize children. It's a joy to equip people in our church to serve and use their spiritual gifts to the glory of the Lord. And of course, I love being here for the benefits for my own family. My wife, Leah, and I have four kids. Three of them are in high school. I have a daughter who's a senior. She's 18, and we cry a lot at night because she's about to leave our nest. And two boys, 16 and 14, and it's a busy time, but awesome, and we love it. And I have a little girl who's 8, and sometimes she acts like she's 18, so it's really, really fun. But again, I think like a lot of you, I love being here at Grace Church. I love this church for its impact on my family, its impact on my parenting. The way that I've gotten to learn from so many godly, wise people in front of me, and it's just been so helpful. And I know it's been a day, and I appreciate you guys sticking around. I was kind of thinking maybe nobody would come back, but you're here, and I know your hearts are probably full, and heads are full of some stuff too. So this afternoon, I just want to try to do something really practical. And I'm actually not going to go to Deuteronomy 6. So I kind of feel like that guy at the table and everybody's ordered the exact same meal and the waiter's looking at me to say, you know, same. And here I am about to order a different dish. But that's what we're doing. I want to get practical and talk about wisdom, and we need to get into the book of Proverbs to do that. And so I do encourage you to grab your Bible and be ready to flip around a little bit in Proverbs. But one thing I've learned as a parent, and of course, like you, I know there are so many lessons, but one in particular that sticks out is that my children need to learn wisdom. I'm 4 for 4 in the Lennington home, without a doubt. All of my kids have needed wisdom, and so do yours. I know that's not a surprise to you, and you know, our kids are not born with all of the wisdom that they need for life. They need wisdom. If I hear "I know" or "I got it" one more time, I'm gonna lose it. I know they don't. I know they need help. Just yesterday, I was helping one of my children with an assignment that was above my pay grade for sure. I didn't know much about it. But they said to me, and what piqued my interest was that they got a 0 on an assignment and said that their teacher, you know, gave them some comments and they didn't understand them. But they were pretty convinced that they were right. And I said, well, let's look at it. And long story short, the teacher was right, of course. That 0 was earned for sure. And we had a chance for me to impart a little bit of wisdom, talk about how to read instructions and how to answer questions that are actually being asked, and to do that in a way that's faithful to what's in front of you and the assignment in front of you. And all of us need wisdom, especially our kids. And I think sometimes we wrongly assume that wisdom is it's something that it's preserved or reserved for people who are more experienced in life, or people who are further along or have gray beards or high IQs. But the book of Proverbs, it helps us to understand that wisdom is not just for those who are further along in life. Not at all. Wisdom is for everyone. And more importantly, wisdom is something that every single person should be pursuing, should be wanting. And that, of course, it includes us as parents. I know we need wisdom for all of these facets of parenting. Of course we do. But this afternoon, I want to talk about how important it is to help our children pursue wisdom too. That's the priority for us. Try to convince you that you need to teach your children how to be wise. Proverbs is a book that's written by a father to his children. And it just so happens to be Solomon, the wisest father to ever be on the planet. So no pressure to these children. Pretty sure he could help his kids with pre-calc. But as Solomon writes to his children here, we too get the benefit of learning from this parent as we think about what lessons we're trying to instill into the lives of our kids as well. And there are so many lessons for us to learn from Proverbs, from Solomon's wise instruction. And that's what the book of Proverbs is. It's a book that forms these principles. They're not promises, they're not guarantees, but principles for us to live by and certainly to instruct our kids in how to live as well. And we're meant to help our children understand these principles, to understand how to actually be wise. This wisdom was intended by Solomon to his kids to help them learn how to live in the world that God had made. He wanted them to know what that was like, and we need to learn how to teach our children the very same thing. We can learn that wisdom that we need in our own lives, especially, is the same kind of wisdom that our kids need. Why? Well, I would maybe say this. We want to teach our children wisdom so that they can learn to live lives that are pleasing to God and to be a blessing to others. That's like my middle school definition for wisdom, wise living. It's learning how to live in a way that's pleasing to God, but also in a way that's a blessing to other people around me. That's hopefully a helpful definition for you as you think about explaining wisdom to your kids. But for our purposes this afternoon, we might just say Proverbs can help us to teach our children how to become wise, and we want to do that. Maybe wondering, is this really what our kids need most? Well, you tell me. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 11, it says this: "For wisdom is better than jewels, and all that you may desire cannot compare with her." There's nothing more valuable than wisdom. Nothing you could possibly put side by side to it and compare to it that would be better than wisdom. God wants us to know that. That's how you and I are supposed to think about wisdom, and I don't think we always do. And that's certainly how we're meant to talk to our children about wisdom, and I also think that that's something we don't do very well. That it's that valuable, that desirable. Listen to this, Proverbs 1:8, "Hear, my son, your father's instruction, forsake not your mother's teaching." Proverbs 2, verse 1, "My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom, inclining your heart to understanding." Proverbs 4, verse 1, "Hear, my sons, a father's instruction." Solomon repeats that over and over and over. Hear, listen, incline your ear. Pay attention to this. I think we get it by the time we hit chapter 7 or 8, which is probably why that kind of starts to fade. But what is it that we're meant to learn from that? Well, I think it's this. Our children do not have wisdom naturally. Our children, despite what they may think, I got it, Dad. I know, Mom. Like, despite that, actually, you don't. You don't. You need this wisdom for your life. And our kids need to hear and listen and pay attention and give their ear to this instruction from God's word. And we, of course, know that true wisdom is, it's only available from God, and it's his wisdom that's so beneficial to every single part of our life. Listen to what Solomon writes in Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6. He says, "For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice, watching over the way of his saints. Then you'll understand righteousness and justice and equity and every good path, for wisdom will come into your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will watch over you, understanding will guard you, delivering you from the way of evil." So it's the Lord who gives wisdom. It's God, and we know that. It's God who's the source of wisdom and who gives us that knowledge and this heart to understand. But look at these benefits. God's wisdom can be a shield, and he gives discernment and not just average wisdom, but sound wisdom. And his wisdom yields integrity and justice and righteousness and equity and every good path. It's quite the list, isn't it? I mean, I don't even have to ask. I think all of us would say, I definitely want that for me, but I certainly want that for my own children. I want that kind of life for my kids. None of us would go back through that list and say, well, like, peace for the soul. Nah, my kid's good. They don't need that. A guard for their life. Nah. Let them take their chances with the way of evil. Of course not. Of course not. We of course want them to have this kind of wisdom. And if you've ever studied the book of Proverbs, you know that this wisdom isn't limited to just spiritual benefits. This wisdom encompasses all of life. Chapter 8 of Proverbs, it speaks of the riches and the honor that accompanies this kind of wise living. Man, we want to teach our kids to live this way, to live wisely, to live in a way that it's pleasing to God and in a way that's a blessing to others. They're going to have honor and they're going to be blessed. They're going to have such a life, but more important than anything, they're going to have a life that is pleasing to God. Wisdom, it benefits all areas of your life, all of it. That's something we need to teach our children. Proverbs, it says this over and over and over. Child, you need wisdom. Children, you need to listen and hear, and you need to start pursuing that wisdom right now. So, Mom and Dad, I want to encourage you to start thinking about this idea. Teach my children wisdom, to start wanting wisdom for themselves. Not something to wait for. Our kids need wisdom to live in this world that God's made too. And of course, that wisdom begins with God. Rich said it this morning. He talked about the fear of the Lord from Proverbs 1:7, probably the most well-known proverb in the whole book. Fear of the Lord begins with wisdom, and it's the beginning of it. Wisdom begins with that right understanding of who God is. Of course, it has to start there. We have to understand that relationship, who he is and who we are as he reveals to us in Scripture. It's so important that our kids understand the fear of the Lord. And I've tried to explain that concept of, you know, to fear God to my own kids in so many different ways. You might think of it this way, to fear God rightly is to live in such a way that your greatest joy would be God's smile and your greatest concern would be his frown. Especially when my kids were little, that was helpful. I just want them to think about that their life would be lived in such a way that their greatest concern would be that God would be like pleased with their, let's say, day. And that it would be a concern to them that God would be displeased. That's a helpful way to think about fearing God rightly. And wisdom, it has to begin there. That, of course, is our first priority in our children when it comes to wisdom. That will never change. That's going to always be true. We must teach our kids that. If you would get anything out of today, that would be a huge win for us. If you left here thinking, I need to teach my kids to fear the Lord, to live in a way for the Lord. But there is more. Fearing the Lord, it leads us to wise living in the rest of our life. And this afternoon, I want to help us think for a few minutes about wisdom and the mind and wisdom and our desires. Those two things, the mind and our desires. Guarding the mind and controlling our desires. So what do we need to learn as parents? As we think about the day in which our children live, and some of you just got coached up on technology and how to interact with some of that. And you know, how do we think about helping our children be wise as they live in this world that's so distracting and it's such a lure to them, pulling them away from things of the Lord? What lessons would we instill in them? Well, let me give you this first one, okay? Number one, walking wisely leads to guarding the mind, okay? Walking wisely, it leads to guarding the mind. And again, all these principles that wisdom instructs us in are vital. I want you to know that. They're all important, but the most important is our relationship with God being made right. That will always be the most valuable. But this one is arguably second. I really believe that. It's arguably second. Wisdom's primary instruction, apart from fearing the Lord, it deals with the mind. It deals with the heart. Solomon uses a word throughout Proverbs. It's interchangeable. We often translate it as heart. We've talked about that a little bit already. Heart, mind, what is that? Well, this is the real you. That's how I try to explain it. It's who you really are. It's how you think and how you would explain the things that are going on around you. It's how you would respond to the world that you're living in. It's sort of your emotions and feelings. It's all of you. It's the whole you, the inner person maybe. So heart and mind, it's the same thing. It's all of you. It's the real you. And I would argue that Solomon is trying to impose on his sons and make sure his sons catch this, his children. You need to be careful with this heart of yours. You need to be so careful with this mind. You need to guard it. And I think the place he explains it the best is Proverbs chapter 4. It's a text I want to focus on here for a few minutes, starting in verse 20. Proverbs 4, verse 20. Here's what Solomon says. My son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart. For they are life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Solomon, what are you saying? What are we supposed to get? I think it's this: nothing more important, nothing more essential than guarding your mind. Solomon urges his son to keep his heart, verse 23, to watch over it, to guard it. Wisdom says, be so careful about this real you on the inside, this inner you. Watch over and guard and protect it. And you do that with all vigilance, or your Bible may say diligence. It's funny. It's just another word that means guard. And Solomon adds that little word, all. Not the most intelligent person. I just think he's trying to say guard the real you with all your guarding ability. It's really simple. Guard the real you with everything you could possibly do to guard it. It's God's way of telling us through his word and making sure our kids understand this too. It's so crucial that of all the things in life concerning our children that we're to watch over, this is number one. This is the most important. This is what matters most. It's the mind. It's the heart. Look, if we want our kids to live wisely in this world, then we have to teach them this truth. They have to guard their minds. Your mind, it's the most valuable possession, the most important, the thing which needs the most protection. And implied here with all this guard talk, the mind's vulnerable. And it needs a guard. It's a battleground that we can't afford to lose. Can't afford to lose to that war that's being waged against it all the time from within our own flesh and the world and even the spiritual battle that constantly is surging to protect the mind. And maybe thinking, I don't know. I mean, lots of things that are important as we parent our kids. How can Solomon just say the mind is the most important? What about like my kid's health? Doesn't that matter? Don't I have a responsibility there to help my kids? If I didn't help my kids choose the right foods, they would choose the worst possible foods imaginable. I mean, guys, refined sugar is everywhere. Processed foods, additives, GMOs, red dye 40. Not today, Satan. There's other things too. We think about not just their health. What about my kids' education? What about that? Isn't that something as a parent I should be focused on? Or maybe that athletic scholarship that we're chasing? Is there not something else that matters here in the parenting world? Well, listen, the reason the heart is given such value, Solomon says this, and I misunderstood this for so long, but he says, from it flow the springs of life, verse 23. Solomon's getting at this issue of all of life. Springs. It's a word used to describe not what you think, not a fountain. It's the edges. It's the boundaries. It's the border of a place. So he's warning his children about the extent of where life can go, where life can lead you. He wants them to know that from the center to the very edge, from beginning to end, the condition of the heart is so crucial and critical. Why? Because it affects everything you do and everywhere that life can possibly take you. It's tough. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good. The evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. People who guard their mind, they think well and their actions reflect that. Everything they do is sourced in, to use Jesus' word, this good treasure. And those who do not guard their mind, who lack God's wisdom, they're described as evil. And the source of their evil is this evil treasure, this wicked heart, a mind full of the wrong things. Our mind controls our mouth, our heart. It affects our actions. That's why a mind without wisdom, without God's wisdom, is so dangerous. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, for from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within. So, for our children, the issues of life, their life, so affected by the condition of their mind. That's why we need our mind renewed, why we need to have God give us that new heart that we've already been talking about to make us that new creation through the gospel. We need to continue to renew our minds daily and guard our hearts because, as Solomon says here to his children, it affects your whole life, all of it. I think it's important too, we understand he's not just talking about this life. Solomon said, out of the heart flow all the issues of life. Certainly that includes the extent of our life to come, the ultimate end of your life and the life of our kids. And I know that's like parents' number one concern. It's been mine for my children, just praying and praying, Lord, please save our kids. Please save our children. That, of course, is what Solomon is also talking about. We need to teach our children to guard their minds. It's, again, wisdom not reserved for the elderly. You don't have to be a grandpa to be wise. A junior high kid can have wisdom. I don't know if I would say he's wise, but he can have some wisdom. So can a third grader. Even a kindergartner can have some wisdom in their life. This wisdom is for everyone. It's this principle for everyone. Start guarding your mind. What you think and what you believe, you inevitably live. It becomes who you are. How you live and act and speak, it's a direct result of what is in your mind. And when you refuse to guard your mind, it's not just leaving your doors unlocked at night, which in California would be really foolish. It's not just that. It's leaving every door and window and every possible access into your home wide open. That's how he wants us to think about that. You have no guard at all, no gate, no door to restrict access to this vulnerable spot. Without a guard, we invite every sort of deceptive and misleading and untruthful, every worldly lie, we invite all that into our mind, into our life, and it's only a matter of time before that starts to impact your beliefs and convictions, before that starts to have a negative impact that eventually is going to show up in the way that you live. The real you is going to be on display eventually. And as our kids fill their minds with that sort of stuff, eventually that's going to show up. How can we guard it? How can we guard our heart? Verse 25 says, let your eyes look directly forward. Proverbs 4, verse 25. Let your gaze be straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet. Then all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. It's garbage in, garbage out. Anytime I don't know who said anything, who to give credit for a quote, I say, Pastor John said that. Pastor John said that. Garbage in, garbage out. This is the principle for our mind. Our eyes, our ears are connected to our mind, our hands and our feet the same. Don't let your eyes lead you to garbage. Don't let your ears or your feet lead you to evil things, wicked things that have no other destination than your mind. Guard your mind, guard your life, guard your way. Psalm 119 was also quoted this morning. It's such a helpful text. Young people need to learn as much of that long chapter as they can, but especially verses 9 through 15. How can a young man or woman keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart, I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I've stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I'll meditate on your precepts, fix my eyes on your ways. The right stuff in the heart, in the mind, God's word, his truth, a heart full of that is a life that's living in a way that's trying hard not to sin against God, trying hard to go back to our original definition of wisdom, to live in a way that's pleasing to God and a blessing to others, because that heart's full of the right stuff, the right truth. I don't even have to ask you questions. You're already asking them of yourself. Am I teaching my kid to guard their mind? To guard it like it's the most important thing to be guarded. I need to make sure my children know that. I need to make sure they're not leaving the doors open, to not leave it just in this unrestricted access mode that everything's welcome. That not only do they need to guard against that, but they also need to be filling their heart and their life with the right things. Wisdom from God's word. That's what they need. Our world convinces our kids with, I'm going to say the wisdom of the world, but it's really the foolishness of the world. It convinces our kids, you're not hurting anybody by listening to this. Ugh, what's the damage here? By watching this movie or scrolling through this social media or whatever, yet the wrong influences on the mind, God's word tells us it's beyond dangerous. If you don't guard your mind, your life will go places that you don't want to go. I didn't want to go there. And here I am. Guarding your mind, it's the one action that most directly affects the outcome of our life and the quality of our life. So when it comes to our children, I want to give you this principle. And I think repetition is the key to learning. It's so helpful. You've already heard it today, but just let me say it again. This is about protecting, and it's also about preparing. We, of course, want to protect our kids. We also need to think about preparing them to be away from our home, to be young adults one day. We have to consider both. When our kids are little, it's so easy. We're in 100% protection mode, and that's right. Stairs, dangerous. Stovetop, hot. Braves, don't cheer for them. Just good, godly things to teach our children. Sorry, Caleb. We got to protect them. But as our children get older, that protection has to slowly switch or blend with another kind of mode, and that's preparing them to be young adults who leave our homes one day, preparing them to live wisely in this world without us. We have a responsibility to prepare our children to live as adults when they leave our care, when they leave our watchful eye. That's what Solomon was all about. He wanted them to listen, not just to protect them for that day, those moments right then and there, but to prepare them to live wisely before their Lord on their own. Look at chapter 2, verse 1. My son, if you receive my word, verse 4, then you'll understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. It's personal. They'll know it. They'll live it. Chapter 3, verse 1, my son, don't forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace, they'll add to you. Solomon is so mindful of wise living for his children for their entire lives. That was his goal. I gotta teach you this now so that you can be prepared to live as a grown man or a grown woman without me, your dad. Hear, O son, verse 1 of chapter 4, this instruction of your father, be attentive, gain insight. He wanted his children to gain that insight so they would know and understand exactly what they were up against, to know and understand what the world was like and how to live in it wisely. So helping our kids to live wisely is to protect them, of course, but it's also to prepare them to think about how they will live one day without us. It's crucial. As your children get older, we need to speak to our kids of the dangers that await them. We need to prepare them to know how to guard their minds from bad time management, because Instagram never, there's no end to it. I've tried. It doesn't end. We need to teach them how to figure out how to guard their minds, not just from, you know, mild things like that, but really awful, evil, wicked things like pornography and other evils that this world is just saturated with. Phone can be a dangerous tool in the hand of a foolish young person. So mom and dad, you need to teach your child how to be wise with it. We can protect them by obviously waiting until the very right time to give them such devices, but I think it's helpful to also think about when that time comes, how do I protect you by setting up guards? We just did a session on it, and restricting content and time usage and all that stuff. It's so helpful for us to do that for their phones, but we also need to do that for our own. We also need to teach our children how we're thinking about living wisely in the world too, how to model it and how to let them see what we're doing. And we protect our kids by helping them see that, but how much more do we prepare them when they say, well, I'm just going to do what you do, Dad. Mom, you were a helpful model for me. Got to help them see how we're fighting to guard the minds of everyone in the home, including us. This is worth it to me. It's, if I'm saying it's something you should be doing, it should be pretty clear that I'm doing that as well. Prepare them to one day do the same for themselves. Talk to them about how you think about your phone. Here's what I'm doing. Sometimes that screen is so small, it's like it's just for us, right? I often say this to parents who talk about it, and oh, the kid's so obsessed with the phone, and they've been on their phone like the whole time they're talking to me, and I'm like, I think I found out why. You're making it look so interesting. We want our kids to be mindful. We want to talk about our social media usage, our habits on the phone, how we think about entertainment, all that. Again, just think about this, write it down. If you say that guarding the mind is a big deal for them, then it should be a big deal for you too. Prepare them to think about how fast an hour goes by playing games on a phone. Help them think about the dangers that are out there and await them. Prepare them to live in this world that is not changing, and except for the worse. Teach them how to start living wisely in it right now. Show them how to use tools wisely. Not just hammers and power saws, but all tools. All tools. Help them to be able to live in a way that honors the Lord and to realize that their mind is a vulnerable place that needs constant guarding. Mind and a heart full of the wrong stuff leads to a life full of the wrong desires. That's the second thing I want to talk about really quickly. Anyone desiring to be wise will guard their mind. They'll also control their desires. What do I want to teach my kid? I want to teach them to control their mind, but also their body. Number two, wisdom warns you to control your desires. Rather than ignore this topic or pretend it isn't here, better for us to just see how much the Bible speaks to this very issue of purity. If you're giving your kid a Bible and expecting them to read it, they're reading it. And they're coming across this topic a lot. If wisdom is something young people should want, then they need to also think rightly about this topic of purity. It's another dominant theme that Solomon wants to make sure his children know a ton about. He doesn't want them to be unaware. He wants his children to know their need to control their desires, to guard their body. That's what we're talking about with this issue of purity. Wisdom, it calls us to control our desires. And I just want to look at one spot here in Proverbs chapter 5. There are many, but this one section can help us think about this issue. We need to teach our children wisdom's warning. Proverbs 5, verse 21. A man's ways are before the eyes of the Lord. He ponders all his paths. The iniquities of the wicked ensnare him. He's held fast in the cords of his sin. He dies for lack of discipline. Because of his great folly, he's led astray. If you were to go back and read the first 20 verses of chapter 5, I don't need to convince you. This whole chapter here is dealing with sexual sin and sexual purity. Solomon thought and knew it was important that his children know the dangers of this kind of sin, that they understand it, that this sin, when desire is so out of control, how deadly. Wanted to warn his children that the sin is not something to let the world instruct his kids on. We, of course, need to do the same. I want us to think about Solomon's warning for just a few minutes. We need to teach our children that if they don't work to control their desires, they risk, just to use Solomon's word, being captured and binded and death. Verse 21 begins wisdom's warning. It says, our ways are before the eyes of the Lord. What does that tell us? Sin, as much as our kids think they're getting away with it and it's in secret and nobody knows, nobody sees. Wrong. God knows and God sees absolutely everything. It says in verse 21, God ponders all our paths, which is such an interesting word as it really speaks to the ruts worn in a road by repetition. Our paths. You've seen that in like a dirt road. We happen to live on a dirt road, and there are definitely ruts, especially when it rains. The water has a way of sort of rutting out the path that it travels by. And that's really what Solomon's speaking to here, this kind of familiar route, the way that we go. Sin's like that. It keeps us coming back to the same stuff, the same temptations, over and over, and too often we give in to that temptation, and those repeated paths that we travel are under the watchful eye of God. And Solomon has more to say. Verse 22, the iniquities of impurity, they capture us, they become a trap, they become a cage, held down by the cords of our sin. It's been my experience that my children sometimes speak of sin as freedom, that doing what they want to do feels like freedom. That's how deceptive sin is. Obviously, Solomon's talking about sexual sin here, but it's true for all sin. It's a trap. It's a cage. We're held down by the cords of our sin. It's bondage. Without Christ, we're all slaves to sin. How amazing is the gospel to set us free from such slavery? Romans 6:6, we know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing so that we would be no longer enslaved to sin. Praise God. Solomon ends with this in Proverbs 5:23, if you don't control your desires, this is your end. He dies for lack of discipline. Because of his great folly, he's led astray. It's sober. It's solemn. This is how serious it is. You reject wisdom. It's our children need to know it's dangerous and it's deadly to refuse to control your desires. I think that's so naturally connected to guarding the mind. Refusing to control your desires in a similar way to not guarding your mind, it will bring your life to ruin. It's actually the first place in Proverbs where the word folly shows up. It's the opposite of wisdom, the opposite of knowledge. the opposite of understanding. It's going to be a description of your life when the real you refuses to embrace wisdom. That heart is foolish. You'll be led astray. You don't guard your mind. You don't control your desires. The result is this. There you are, stumbling towards death. Protect and prepare. I understand there's a huge difference between an 8-year-old and a 14-year-old. Those are the ages of my two youngest, and I want to be mindful as I talk to them about these things. But the point is, we need to talk to them about these things. We cannot wait for the world to do that, which, by the way, the world just moved its target down like 6 years of age. Children are being indoctrinated with so much evil, wicked, horrible lies. The number of parents that come to me and an issue with a student, their child, junior higher, want to talk about something, and they'll excuse their kid and they want to talk about pornography or sex or something, and I'll say, wait, are you not talking to your child about this? And, no, he's not ready for that. You've missed this by about 3 or 4 years. Have to talk to our children about this, of course, in an appropriate way, but we need to talk to them about these things. We need to talk to them about how God made them and how God's design isn't wrong. How God's design isn't embarrassing, how it's normal to go through puberty, what that's for, that attraction to the opposite gender, why that's good and a normal thing. But as you get older, let me really impress upon you that that's reserved for a different gift God has in store for you called marriage. Marriage is such a gift, and our world's trying to wreck marriage so badly, and it lies to our children that it's not what it seems and that it's not what it's cracked up to be. And the biggest lie of all is that self-control is completely unnecessary. So again, we must protect, but we also have to prepare our kids to live wisely one day outside of our care. Teach your children to control their desires. Teach them to guard their mind, but also their body. Paul says in Colossians 3, put to death, therefore, what's earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Purity and controlling our desires is mentioned so frequently in the Bible, and I believe it's because it's the first inclination of our heart so often. And that's going to be true for our kids, especially as they hit those young teenage years. One of their first temptations, one of their biggest weaknesses. And for you to remain silent is not helping them. They need to know what's going on. Talk to them and prepare them for what this is all about. And notice too, Paul says in Colossians there, put this to death. Mom and dad, your children need you to tell them. Help your kids embrace this wisdom of controlling their desires. Here's some wisdom from one dad, one parent, to another. This is what matters. Teach your kids. First and foremost, fear the Lord. Nothing more important. But a close second is right here. Guard your mind. Control your desires. Wisdom is not something we want to delay for our kids. It isn't something that we can just look at our children and say, well, you're only 16. Of course you're going to do that. Wisdom is something we want to teach our children now. Age appropriate, of course, but to learn from this wise parent and the way that he instructed his kids and the things that we can teach our children so that they too can live wisely in this world that God has made. To live in a way, I'm going to say it again, to live in a way that is pleasing to the Lord. To live in a way that's a blessing to others. I know you want that for your children. Solomon's saying this is how you do it. I want to give Solomon the final word. God's word instructs us, Proverbs 4:5, get wisdom, get insight. Don't forget. Don't turn away from it. Don't forsake her. She'll keep you. Love her. She'll guard you. Keep hold of instruction. Never let go. Guard her, for she is your life. Father, thank you for our time today. So much instruction from your word and so needed. God, would you help us as parents to heed this wisdom, of course, first in our own lives, and then secondly, to impart these truths to our most valuable possession, our children. Lord, what a gift our kids are to us. Help us to steward this responsibility wisely as we raise them to fear you and to follow you and, God, to be able to live in this world in a wise way. More than anything, Father, we pray that the children represented here in the gym this afternoon would understand that wisdom certainly begins with you, but it doesn't stop there. I'd help these parents to model wise living, to teach their kids how to live in this world in a way that honors you most. God, may the result of today bring you glory. May our children have an impact on your kingdom. Lord, thank you for the privilege it is to be parents. I pray that we would enjoy the days, the weeks, the years, or that we would look at it as an incredible stewardship to teach someone the truths of you and, Lord, to watch them hopefully, God, prayerfully live their lives for you. Thanks for these parents. Get us home safe. Lord, back to our kids. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.